The Football Set. Hello and welcome to the Football Sack, the Sack on Sunday podcast, and we're going to talk, of course, the second round of the Hyundai A-League, which is halfway through. We're also going to talk a bit of Socceroos, a bit of W-League, and we'll have Pete going supernova about the Hyundai A-League app, so that's going to come up. But first, a big welcome to Pete Novakovsky on the decks.
Oh, hello, hello. How are you all doing?
We're doing well. Anne's here as well. Anne O'Dong from the Oz Women's Game and Beyond the 90. Hello, Anne.
Hello. This is the first time in a little while that I've been on the sack on Sunday.
Well, it's very good to have you back because we're going to talk W League in a moment, and you are our aficionado, our resident aficionado. I nearly called you aficionado, which isn't anything.
No.
This is slightly different to aficionado.
Yes. I don't think that's Spanish, but the aficionado. But anyway, getting on to the A-League results, and we've had some big games this week. We've had Melbourne and Adelaide, which a lot of people are tipping to be the Hyundai A-League grand final this year.
Well, let's hope it's not after that.
Yeah, it wasn't perhaps the best tactical game that either coach has officiated over, but it was a game which had a lot of interest. It was a sellout at Hindmarsh. It was Harry Kuehl on his return after that preseason game, which garnered a lot of interest, but it was a bit of a bash fest.
Can I just let you know that my first look, because I was out on Friday night, because that's the kind of girl that I am, my first look at that match was on the news, and all I saw was flares and Reds fans and all that sort of stuff, and I was thinking, sigh, here goes the media again, soccer hooliganism was actually the leading line and all that sort of stuff. I still don't think Australia fully understands football culture.
That's all right. Give them time. It's just the nature of it. I don't know if you've been to a big Wallabies game. I went to a Wallabies game against New Zealand. It was boring. As a crowd member, it was boring. There was no engagement with the play, and I think that's what football fans understand, that their behaviour directly affects the tempo of the game. And in that game especially, because there was so much going on in the crowd and it was so loud and two sets of fans just yelling at each other and singing songs at one another, the players were sort of caught in the middle and they really couldn't relax at any point. And it was really just punctuated by one moment where Sergio van Dijk showed his pedigree.
Yeah, well, looking at the crowd, for instance, the tickets were actually sold out for that game. The only way you could get to it is if you bought an Adelaide membership.
Excellent.
So they had around about 15,000 there at that game. So really, really good to see. Now, looking at Adelaide in particular, Dario Vidicic playing some outstanding football. The problem is he needs to work on his shooting this week at training.
Have we got some man love?
Man love. I love Dario Vidicic. I'm putting it out there.
But he was a cut above the rest, and he was holding the ball up, and he was a link between the midfield and the strikers. He really has done very well for himself going to Germany. He's really upped his game, and he's become more of a player of the ball. And that comes with age too. I mean, he's got a bit older. But of all the players on the pitch, there was really only him who was really directing the play in any great measure.
But I think part of it was also it's funny, when you're a junior, a lot of times you get told to get your head up, have a look around, and make the pass. But a lot of times it just felt like they were rushing things. They were rushing the play. They had more time on the ball than they understood that they had. Mm. And that really emphasized it was a lot of rush plays. And the goal was actually indicative of the game where it was a mistake and Van Dijk capitalized. And you're right. For me, it just felt like they never relaxed into the game. They never went out to enjoy it. And therefore, they always felt that they were under pressure.
And of course, the game's major talking point was the sending off of the Melbourne captain, Adrian Leia, Princess Leia, as he's called amongst his teammates, which is an excellent nickname.
Adrian Leia, if you are listening, we're sorry.
But that's his nickname. The send-off was a fair enough send-off. You had Andwale Slorry, who was, you know, fairly launched himself into that tackle, rightly got a yellow card. But Adrian Leia was probably the fifth or sixth man in, and rightly also got a yellow card, and then later on deserved his second yellow and getting sent off.
I think this is symbolism of the perfect replacement of Kevin Muscat, Adrian Leia getting sent off. I think it just works so well.
Well, Lee Broxham's doing his best to be Kevin Muscat in his absence. I mean,
he's almost there with the haircut,
Mohican haircut, and just his general attitude. I mean, he's always in there, whether he you know, caused the stoppage in play or whether he didn't. He's always there with an opinion, just having a natter in someone's ear, kicking someone in the shins. He's really trying to take it on.
You guys mentioned that. It's quite surprising how combative Melbourne have been this season. Two games in, and I just think it's almost like they've bunkered down and everyone's against us because we've got the star player and with, you know, with the target team and with the glamour team of the competition. And yeah, they're just really, really aggressive. They just need to settle down and play some football.
Exactly. And you know who's going to do that? Mehmet Durakovic has to do that. He has to take the, he has to sit them down this week and say, look, the first 2 weeks of this circus has been an absolute whirlwind. For us, it's been a whirlwind. Imagine what it's been for the players. They've got to sit down and really focus on the fundamentals, getting to the football right. And I really want Durakovic to be able to do that, but I'm just not sure that he is the right man for the job. But we'll get into that, you know, as the weeks unfold.
Maybe Durakovic, I'll tell you what, Kevin Muscat's just sitting there going...
Exactly. Yeah.
He's knocking on the door.
That was rad.
That was good.
First time we've had that sound effect. We usually have a cheer and a boo, but that was awesome. And look, that is a real worry for Melbourne. If they can't be in control of the circus and there's so many people trying to get into this system and this setup, and they've already completely benched or even beyond the bench with Danny Allsopp, what's going to happen when Solorzano, who should be playing up front right now, is on the pitch? And, you know, they have to drop, say, Archie or somebody like that. There's going to be so much friction. And then if the results aren't going well, then Muscat's going to step in as well into the picture. And there's a lot of areas where Melbourne could potentially hit the skids. And this isn't just because it's a Sydney podcast, but honestly, it's a very, very interesting set of circumstances.
Well, let's mention it. Funny you mentioned Solorzano, because I've got a little bit of player tweets. Excellent.
Are we going to bring this back? All right, we've got to do this properly.
Player tweets. Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. And Solorzano put in an interesting tweet. And basically the tweet was having a little bit of a dig at the club. And I just thought, not good signs.
Not good signs already.
And let's have a look at a club who has also been involved in a circus, which... Sydney FC. Last night, tough performance, but then again, you are playing against a club who hit the big 3-0.
Let's look at the positives, though. Exactly. It's no shame to lose to Brisbane Roar at the peak of their powers, and they still are, and there are going to be some questions about whether they were, and they've been answered. They still are the best team in the country. I'm just not sure all the negativity that I saw on the World Game website from fans about, you know, Emo's not the right guy, you know, that Sydney, it's all going to fall in at Sydney. 15,000 people at the ground, excellent. And we know Sydney loves a bit of hype. And we know that if the results aren't there, it'll probably dip again. Putting that to one side, though, getting 15,000 and getting a good write-up in the Telegraph before the game was excellent. It's just that Brisbane are Brisbane, and they're playing very good football, Pete.
And, hey, if you are sick of the World Game website, don't worry about it. Jump on the Football Stacks
website. That's right.
Plenty of articles on there. Looking at Matt G's report from last night's game. Fantastic read. A photograph from me standing in the cove.
Nice.
There. So check it out. It's on www.thefootballsack.com. Now, Sydney FC's performance last night, I think it came down to the players on the bench myself. Looking at the squads, Sydney FC had Ryle, Grant and Petrados on the bench, while Brisbane Roar had Massimo Madoka, Kofi Dani,
Saeed Mohammed Adnan.
Well, the A-League season is going to be a season about depth. And we saw last year that even when Brisbane were raided by other clubs, even during the season when they lost, I've just forgotten his name right now.
Luke De Vere,
that's it. When they lost him, they had a couple of injuries. Players just slotted right into the system.
Seamlessly.
And I think that's going to be one of the big things that Sydney and Melbourne are going to have to do. They're going to have to figure out what is the system that is best for their club. And then players are going to have to fit into the system, whether you're a Harry Kuehl, a Brett Emerton, you're a Solorzano or a Carlos Hernandez, whoever you are, that's what's going to happen. I think at the moment the players are running the show, and we've seen in world football that no team wins when you're catering to players' whims.
Totally. And look, I think Melbourne probably have a bit further to go with the system. Sydney know the system. Levitschka is very, very consistent in what he puts out. Having said that, though, there are some new players who need to fit into the system. And, you know, I think Sydney will need to lift their game. I'm not sure on the evidence of last night that they will, you know, be in the grand final. But I think that if they want to get to the final series, then they probably all just need to step up a little bit, and Emo needs to probably chill out a little bit too. Yes. I think
he was chasing around like a chick without a head last night.
I think Kiel and Emerton are a little bit of guilty if they're trying too hard.
Mm.
They just need to relax. We know your quality. We know what you can do. Just relax and enjoy the game. Enjoy being back in Australia. Enjoy playing football.
Yeah.
And I think it will all come. They're just trying to force it a little bit too much, and it's coming unstuck.
You look at Thomas Broich for Brisbane Roar. Mm. Now, he just enjoys his football, scored a goal last night. He scored that movies. Second winner. He's made a documentary, which will be released in Australia very, very soon.
Yep.
And, look, he's just one of those guys who just takes football as it comes. He's one of the most relaxed guys. I met him at the A-League launch, one of the nicest guys in the footballing scene.
Mm.
Take a book out of his take a page out of his book.
I was just about to say, can I just have a hats off to Brisbane Roar? Because, Brisbane Roar, lots of, hats are being
imaginary
tipped. Hats are being tipped in the studio, so to speak. Brisbane Roar, as Michael mentioned, there were lots of questions about them. At the beginning of the season, but so far they've answered them, and they've answered them convincingly.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that Mehmet needs to be the one that takes control of Melbourne Victory. Ange Postecoglou is firmly in control of that club. And I watched him last week on the Offsiders, and he was polished.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, beautiful to watch. And I think very much his team is a reflection of where Ange is at.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ange has had many, many opportunities. He was in the Soccer Australia set up with the Joeys, and he's been around Australian football for a very, very long time. Same with Mehmet, but he hasn't had the same opportunities as Ange has had. And you wonder, that was always the question with Melbourne amassing the squad that they have. You wondered whether Drakovic was the guy. But we will see. Let's not prejudge him too early, even though I don't know if it's going to work out, but that's just me. That's just me.
I mean, you're a Chelsea fan. That's a bit like Villas-Boas at Chelsea. It's a fact of, look, we know that they can sort of do the job, but can they do it on the next level?
Yeah. Well, look, Chelsea is starting to put some results together. Melbourne needs to get off the board, to get 3 points on the board, or a 3-point result on the board sooner rather than later. But let's go to Central Coast and the Gold Coast, the clash of the coasts. And it was a 1-1 draw at Blue Tongue Stadium last night. And Gold Coast are exciting a lot of people. They've got a lot of young players who are just playing without fear, and a lot of players who are not fancied by others, but Miron has fancied them, and the ones that have been there, a la James Brown and Taj Minicon and others, are just being senior players in what is a very young squad.
I know it's cliche, but I think this is the only thing that we can say right now. I feel good. I knew that I
wouldn't. I feel good. I think
James Brown.
He feels good.
He scored a goal against Central Coast.
One in each week as well. And look.
And crackers.
Yeah, absolute crackers.
Absolute stunners.
He's a live wire player and should really be celebrated. He's an Indigenous talent, which is really nice. One of my best stories about being in a football crowd was when the Gold Coast first came down to Sydney, and James Brown was running around I think he's a Sydney boy, because there were two people behind me, Indigenous people, who were crying after the game. I turned around, they were crying, and James Brown waved to them, and they waved back. And I said to them at the time, you know, your kid is a very, very good player. And they said, it's the first time we've been to a soccer game. It was just such a nice moment. It was such a nice moment. And I had tingles on them.
I've got them now.
Yeah, it was just so good. And it was just such a nice moment in football. But James Brown is the goods, and it's really good for Gold Coast that he's stepping up.
I think Gold Coast are going to be okay this season, but as Pete mentioned, it's just going to be depth, because you're going to get injuries. The season, you know, we lament the season isn't long enough, but the season in some ways is long, and it's going to take its toll. And if you've got young kids, eventually it's going to take their toll on them, and they don't have the quality of replacements as they do. So I think they'll be okay if they can amass some points early in the top of the season. It's a bit like the relegation battle in the Premier League.
Yeah.
If they can get the points on the board early, it's going to help them in the long run. Central Coast Mariners, they were your pick, Reach, yeah. But they've started really slowly. And you mentioned something interesting, that it looks like they're playing a little bit more conservative football.
Yeah, I don't know what Graham Arnold's up to at the moment, because he's got some awesome, awesome young players who are on the bench, and he hasn't made the courageous selection decisions. Like, the selection of Matt Simon, to me, is a selection which really shows that Graham Arnold isn't as adventurous as he needs to be with this squad.
Mm. Well, looking at how Central Coast have actually done at training, Matt Simon's always that guy who is always up front. He's always that focus point, but he can also play in that attacking midfield kind of role. Michael Baird also helps out a lot. So those two together, I think, would be first choice, and that way you ease Bernie into the squad. I think we'll see Bernie Ebenezer play more towards the end of this season, more and more football for him. But standing captain for last night for the Central Coast game against Gold Coast, Patrick Svinzvijk scoring the goal in the 88th minute. Yep. Now, that goal, just to bring up the point for Central Coast at home in front of the home crowd, good to see that Central Coast can get a point against Gold Coast, but you would have thought at the start of the season, easy points for Central Coast.
Yeah, they haven't created the fortress that Brisbane have created at Suncorp, and that's an issue for a club who wants to win the league and who've been bridesmaids on three occasions in grand finals, and for me, I thought we're going to be consistent this year. They've started slowly, and I just think that picking Matt Simon now makes the decision to pick Bernie Ebenezer now even harder, because it was going to be a gamble starting with a youngster up front who is the focal point, but you do have guys like Mustafa Amini, who's come back a bit rough after the World Cup.
Wrapped up in bandages right now.
He said, Graham Arnold says he's 50%, and it's the second week of the season. So he's disappointed with how Vashlayan played him, and he said that midweek. And that's in no small part what, you know, the club is, why they're sitting where they are at the moment. I'd like to see Ebenezie and Pellegrino really have that connection, and I'd like to see Amini come back when he's ready, and then I think you'll start seeing results for Central Coast.
It's interesting Central Coast are playing this slower tempo game, because they've got players who really thrive on the pace of the game. Adriano Pellegrino, I saw him a lot at Perth, and he's an explosive player.
Yeah.
He's not fast, but his ball movement and his ability to move the ball on quickly around is fantastic. And I would have thought he'd be the perfect option to work with Ebenezie or Mustafa Amini when he does get fit. And they really can, they've got a strong defense anyway.
Mm.
So this is their ability to be able to play on the counter and hit teams hard.
Well, they did against Celtic. They kept the ball more than Celtic did. Celtic really didn't have the ball at all in that game in preseason. But it's a little bit disappointing with Central Coast starting. But look, the A-League has a salary cap. You never know what you're going to get. And it's been a bit of a lottery as far as all the other results, except for Adelaide and Brisbane. And I think those two clubs really are setting the pace at the moment.
Well, there are some other games happening in the A-League at the moment. Wellington Phoenix versus Newcastle Jets. Oh, God, they've got back into the studio.
Get out
of the studio.
That was Ricky Herbert, and look, he's not welcome in here ever, and he keeps trying to get in, and we've got to make rules. Without rules, it's chaos.
Is it out front still?
It's muffled behind the door.
Can you help him out?
It's hopeless. I mean, anyway, look, it's going to be an interesting game. Two clubs who have been doing it tough. You know, Newcastle, well-documented issues off the pitch, and Wellington lost their owner, Terry Serapisos, to bankruptcy, not to injury.
it could be injury to his bank account.
And it's fair to say...
Can we have a boo?
Yeah, it's fair to say that there's going to be a lot more interest in another game in New Zealand today, which is the semi-final of the World Rugby World Cup, and it's, you know, going to be a big one. But Wellington will want to get 3 points against Newcastle. They've got the chance to do it. Newcastle played exceptionally well last week and stole a victory at home against Melbourne Heart.
Well, my prediction, I am saying that Wellington will keep their home form that they had last season, that they continue to do fantastically at home, and they're going to be getting probably a 1-0 win. I can see that. I don't think it's going to be a big high-scoring game either, but I don't know, Newcastle Jets with Ryan Griffiths up front, he's doing really, really well.
My thoughts on the game are, I think actually Newcastle Jets might get the points away from home in this one.
Yeah.
I think they're building some confidence in that first up win against Hart, even though it was a snatch and grab. I think that's going to be very important to them. And I think they're just going to get a little bit more confidence. And from what I saw, they're going to be a team that could cause some problems. And again, these are two teams that have probably the expectations in the last couple of weeks have lowered, and that just might be good for them.
And of course, the other game, which rounds out round two, is Melbourne Heart against Perth Glory.
My boys.
My boys.
Bit of Perth Glory love at the moment in the studio. Perth have signed Steve Pantelides midweek, who I really don't want to see.
Another player who's going to get red carded off.
He's going to stand next to Jacob Burns and just destroy people.
But you know what happens? Now that there's two of them, one can get the yellow and neither gets the red.
Well, look, they might both get red carded.
I mean, it's
on the cards. But at least, look, it's going to be a great game. Melbourne Heart really want to get 3 points. They want to get off to a faster start than they did last season. They earmarked that as one of the down points of their inaugural A-League season. They want to get off to a fast start. Perth Glory have, knocking off Adelaide United in the first round.
At home.
And playing
at
quite
home.
Well.
Andre Zenio on that left wing just completely destroyed Adelaide's right side. He was phenomenal.
Yeah. Melbourne Heart have some new combinations that they want to start honing, and there's no better time than to start doing that at home. Fred, Maicon, Germano, big players.
Dave Williams up there as well.
Yep, that's right. And look, and Melbourne Heart, big game for them. They want to get 3 points. Perth will be hard to knock off this season.
Okay, I'm going to ask the Magic Crickets. So that's a 2-0 for the Crickets.
to who?
Perth Glory, they said that they will win, so trust the Crickets.
Crickets know all.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
And of course, just quickly, we've got a competition where we give away
three competitions.
Well, that's right. We give away some tickets. We're giving away tickets to some Perth Glory matches, some Mariners matches, and some Melbourne Heart matches. Pete, I'm going to throw to you to give us some details.
Sorry, there's only two competitions now. Unfortunately, the Perth Glory tickets have gone.
Anne has picked them all up. So if you would like to complain, please send an email to info@thefootballsack.com. and blame Anne for taking all the Perth Glory tickets. But the competition is Central Coast Mariners ticket giveaway to selected home games, a family pass. All you have to do, send in a picture of yourself or your family in Mariners supporter wear. Easy. Melbourne Hearts ticket giveaway, double pass to selected home games, 25 words or less, why Melbourne is the heart of football, and if I had a groan sound effect, I would be playing it right now. The puns just continue to go.
Pun bombs.
Perth Glory ticket giveaway. We've got two double passes to give away for every Perth Glory home game for the rest of the season. All you have to do, tell us in 25 words or less what football means to you. We've got links up on our website, our Facebook page, all over Twitter. So stay tuned for all of that information.
Well, thank you for that, Pete. That's excellent. And good to see the clubs, you know, reaching into their pockets and giving away some tickets. And it's a great way to garner interest in their clubs and our website. So excellent, excellent news.
Well, they're definitely living up to their moniker that we are football, which
is good.
We are
football. We are football.
We just need the same promotion to happen in the W League because the season does kick off this weekend, next weekend. We've got some major signings happening around the place. Newcastle Jets have picked up Melissa Barbieri, Lisa Devana, as well as Emily Van Egmont. They're looking probably the strongest
side.
And
don't forget Ariane Hinks, who is a 2-time World Cup winning defender for Germany.
Massive.
So that's a big one. And we're getting now, I've had some emails from people in Germany wanting to find out about her. So the W League is definitely spreading its wings.
Which is fantastic to see. It's good to see that the W League is getting this promotion that American girls are realising the quality of the league and that they want to come over here and play. Now, there is a Sydney FC player who has been training with the club for the last couple of years, just
she
recently
has.
Signed.
Yeah,
you know a bit more about this?
Yeah, Megan Rapinoe, she signed to play for Sydney FC, which is fantastic news. Again, she's another huge player. She plays for the US Women's National Team, and she's actually one of the players who was involved in that epic, epic goal against Brazil in the US, which was the latest World Cup goal scored ever. In the 122nd minute, she puts in a cross to Abby Wambach at the back post, who buries it, and the US win on penalties. So massive, massive player to have coming across to Australia. She's a great fine for them. And again, it's more recognition of the W League's impending talent and also the great structure of the league and what's going on here. And the word is starting to spread across around the world. We've had it in Denmark and the Scandinavian countries and now the US. So that's a big one.
Definitely. And we've also got Canberra United, who have a very, very good side this season, with Michelle Heyman, Sally Shepherd, Lydia Williams, as well as Elise Perry, one of Matt's favourite players. If you haven't already seen the interview, it is up on our Facebook page, so hit us up there and you will find it there. But what do you think of Canberra United?
Yitka Klimkova has come into the side, to the club this year. She's a Czech coach, one of your people.
Czech.
Look, they're going to win. They're going to win on the basis of the Czech nous.
Check.
Well, she's a lovely person. And I was speaking to a lot of the players and she said she's a strict disciplinarian, but she's also a person who knows her football very much so. So she's kept actually the core of her squad from last season, which I think is a huge thing. Because that core is a very good core. You mentioned some of the players in there, adding there Leah Blaney as well and Ellie Brush and Lydia Williams, as the co-captains. And it makes it a really good squad. So Canberra United, I think they'll be up there in upabouts, and they've been bridesmaids for the last couple of years.
And also Melbourne Victory, they did release Melissa Barbieri to bring in their goalkeeper, Brianna Davi, who's 16-year-old goalkeeper. Huge talent, whether or not it's a smart choice for the Victory's back line, we've yet to see.
Yeah, it's actually a quite surprising surprising selection, as you mentioned, but it's actually a pretty smart one from Vicky Linton. Brianna Davy showed quite a lot last season, so she's a young up-and-coming keeper. She's actually across with the young Matildas at the moment. But I think what gave Linton the ability to be able to make that decision is she's got a very experienced back line. She's got some very experienced performers in that back line. So having a keeper that is young is not going to be much of a hindrance.
So who's going to take out the W League this year?
I think it will probably be Sydney, but I think my surprise for the season, look at Melbourne Victory for maybe finishing up there in the top half. They've got some great international players, Danielle Johnson, Kendall Fletcher, and also Jodie Taylor, who's come across. And also they've got some exciting young players, Stephanie Kately with the young Matildas, Caitlin Fred, Davey, as you mentioned. And they've also got some experience with Marlies Udstam, who is an ex-New Zealand international, and also Louisa Bisbee. So it's a great mix of young, experienced, excitement, and also a little bit of consistency.
Sounds good to me. Well, I'm backing Sydney FC, as I have to. I think that their squad is probably the best, and I think that with Caitlin Ford on that right side, that the team's going to go extraordinarily well.
The one thing with Sydney that I have, and I think they'll probably win it again.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they have lost is depth. Last season they had a lot of depth.
Definitely.
I mean, they had Caitlin Ford coming off the bench until the last probably three or four games of the season, but they've lost the likes of Alana Kennedy, Nicola Bolger, and also, I've forgotten her name now, it's just escaped me. They've lost those three young Matildas, and Alana Kennedy is the captain of the young Matildas, so depth is going to be one issue for Sydney FC. They've picked up a couple of N-Swiss players, but I don't think they are quite of the experience quality of those three girls that they've lost.
Excellent. Well, that's a very quick look at the W League season. Quite pressed for time.
And we will be reporting on the W League with a weekly roundup every week, surprisingly. It makes sense to put a weekly roundup on a weekly basis, which will be up on our website, and we will be tweeting about it and having lots and lots of updates, so stay tuned for
and
that.
And we will also have a W League podcast, myself, the women's game, and hopefully hopefully we can get it up on the Football Sack as well. So
absolutely. Well, very happy to talk W League anytime. We're going to have to move on now to the Socceroos, who had a very comfortable 3-0 win against Oman in midweek in a World Cup qualifier in Sydney. We had a 25,000 strong crowd, which was not bad for a midweek.
Okay, it isn't bad to see 25,000 there, but the stadium holds 80,000, so it makes it look really dodgy.
Yeah, it does. And look, I think I'm not sure why we keep putting games that aren't, you know, the premium matches at ANZ. A 25,000 crowd at the SFS is an awesome crowd because you're all down in the bowl,
exactly.
Not up the top, and you're right on top of the action. I do like going to ANZ Stadium, though, because of November 16, 2005. it'll never be a bad ground to go to for me. But there is always a shout for holding a lesser fixture at the SFS.
One of the key players in that game was Brett Holman, who continues to do everything right for the
Goldman
Socceroos.
Holman.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't think anyone's pulled that out yet.
I like it.
Thank you.
Goldman Holman.
Look, he was really a bit of a spark in the final third, and he's been a spark in the final third against Saudi Arabia. He's been a spark in the final third against Malaysia a few days beforehand. And Holger Ozic has said that he's one who should be moving on very soon to either the Premier League or the Bundesliga.
Which is a huge, huge rap for him.
Yeah, it's funny. Holger's got great raps on him, but us, the everyday punters and some of the keyboard warriors out there, they still have this perception with Holman as a bad player. And look, he did snatch at a couple that, especially one that I thought on the right he should have buried.
Yeah.
And we all know which one. But there seems to be this perception that he's still a bad player, even though he's been a very good player for a number of years.
Look, he was a great player against Oman. There was one moment in particular where he received a pass, or he faked to receive a pass, stepped over it, and then continued his run. And that was the moment where he just launched a shot into the stratosphere. And I think if he tried to hit the ball that high again, he probably couldn't. But of course, Josh Kennedy just keeps scoring goals, and Holger Ozic has pumped him up really, really expertly in the media. Right before every game, he just sort of says something about one player, and then that one player just invariably seems to perform. And Holger is putting together an awesome, awesome soccer side.
And plenty of depth. You look at the likes of Sasha Osanovsky, who was out of that game, and
Sporanovic did a good
Matty Sporanovic stepped straight in, was flawlessly good.
Yeah,
you looked at Reece Williams, jumped in at right back, perfect. Mm. Luke Wilkshire moved up the field. If anything, it suits him better.
Let's talk about each of those players individually, because in their own right, they've all got very interesting stories. You've got Spira, and we just talked about Josh Kennedy. Two guys who've done really, really well in being in the J-League, and Sporanovic's play on the ground has always been really nice to watch, but it's just stepped up again.
Yeah.
And seeing him, you know, pass the ball left and right with so much confidence, it puts confidence to the players who are left and right of him to receive the pass. And Lucas Neal, usually comfortable in possession. Reece Williams played really, really well.
His brothers, the twins, they're little guys to look out for, Aaron and Ryan.
Right.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for them.
It's funny with Reece. Reece is a player that has been used as Middlesbrough as the ultimate utility player. He's played centre and mid. He's played out on the wing. He's played full back. He's played centre back. So he's a player who I think in the next couple of years might become a sort of the Luke Wilkshire role where we play him where we need to plug some holes. But even out there on the right, although his crossing wasn't as crisp as I've seen it in previous years.
Luke Wilkshire,
I think he's going to be a player that is going to be very important to Holger's setup, and I think we missed him in South Africa.
Yeah,
Reece.
Yeah,
I think we really did miss him in South Africa. But he's a player that can also step in and play as centre back if we need him. So he's going to be a good utility player.
And let's look at the midfield in particular now. You've got Matt Mackay, who, for all intents and purposes, could be running that midfield. Holger's put a lot of faith in Valeri and Jedinak, two great players, Kilkenny as well. And Kilkenny, who didn't start that game, unfortunately. But in that game in particular, there's been a little bit written about how we couldn't unlock the Omani defence with the same ease that we did with Malaysia. And it's quite unfair to compare two sides who come from totally different parts of the world, who have different personnel and different positions. And this was a World Cup qualifier. There was a lot more riding on it. It wasn't just a hit out, but there wasn't the same consummate ease with the slickness of passing in the midfield, was there, Pete?
No, not really. I think we kind of expected a bit more from the midfield of the Australian attack, and luckily enough, we didn't resort to using a long ball tactic too much. But I think it's just a matter of too much passing in the Australian game. Just take another shot. Just keep having shots, because eventually, if you have 15, one will go in.
Well, against Oman, Ali Al-Habsi was in goal, and he's a goalkeeper for Wigan Athletic. He's no mug. The Malaysian keeper was about 4 foot tall, and he was a mug.
Well, I just was thinking, Lordy, when in years gone by, could we ever thought we'd be saying Australia passing too much? But anyway, just in that regard, I think it's also a case to point that Holger said we had to be patient. And I think in the end that was what told. We were just patient. We worked our way thing into the game. But at no point were we ever in any danger. And I think that's the key thing we need to remember. Although we maybe were not unlocking the Omani defence, but they just didn't even get close to us. So
exactly. And if you look at European qualification, for example, you get a lot of criticism, strident criticism of, say, a French side who can't dismantle another side. But we're still dismantling sides. We're playing exceptional football. It's in football, you can't play the best you've ever played every single game. That's the reality. I mean, and I think that the Socceroos are playing exceptional football right now. I just can't wait for the next round of qualification, and we haven't got there quite just yet, but against teams like Japan and North Korea and South Korea, and these are real Asian sides.
Well, unfortunately, we don't actually get to see the Socceroos playing against Oman until the 12th of November, and then the 15th, Australia versus Thailand. Both those games away.
Yeah.
So, road trip.
Well, the Phuket one, anyway.
I'd love to go to see Phuket International Football Stadium. But, Pete, I think it's time. Now, last week, you didn't get the chance to do this. And you've been saving up the fervour for this moment. And this is where Pete goes supernova.
So a lot of people were complaining that I didn't actually get to do a supernova rant last week. So I thought it was only fair that I got to have a go. This week, I'm talking about the A-League app. I think it is a fantastic idea that we have an A-League app, but it doesn't work. It's rubbish. You're meant to get notifications, don't get them. You're meant to have full teams listing, don't see them. You're meant to have all this stuff, doesn't happen. So what's the point of having an app that's meant to be fantastic if it doesn't work? Now I understand that they might be trying to improve it, still, come on. You should do some testing before releasing it. But look, Socceroos app doesn't work either. Meant to get updates from the Oman game, didn't happen. So come on, FFA, pick up your socks.
And that was Pete Goes Supernova. And of course, Pete, you raised some good points. I mean, what's the point in releasing a beta app when the season started? I mean, you could have got that happening in pre-season. You could have had it,
We had 6 months off.
Yeah.
6 months to design an app. Why did you do it the night before?
And to be fair, it's a good looking app. It's a sexy piece of hardware. And Pete is nodding and smiling here. He likes it.
It is.
He just wants it to do what it's advertised as it's doing. So I think it's a step in the right direction. And one of the things I'm most excited about is the fact that there's video on there. And with video, you can show the free-to-air channels how many people are interested in platforms. You can show people, there's quantifiable figures. And then we can start talking about dollars for the next TV rights deal.
But the smart thing that they did actually do was release it for both platforms, iPhone and Android.
Yeah.
Because if they had only done one, they really annoyed the other market.
Well, Android's massive. I mean, I've just literally picked up an Android phone in the last couple of weeks. It's a great platform.
Kids finger discount.
Yeah. And look, football.
Off the truck.
Well, football needs to be on everything. I mean, it is the game. It's the most popular pastime that humankind has ever, got around to. And why alienate 50% of your audience? However, that's enough about the app for this week. Hopefully it's working again next week.
I got some notifications.
Did
I'm
you?
Just saying.
Well, this is an interesting thing. Some people are getting them and some people aren't. So look, maybe next week it'll be totally working and we'll be happy. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for on the Sack on Sunday. Anne O'Dong, you've been fantastic. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Rich.
And talking a bit about everything, and in particular the W League. We love your input on that. So thank you.
Check.
Exactly.
Game we play.
Yeah. Check. So thank you, Anne.
No problem.
And Pete, thank you for being on the decks and going supernova once more.
No worries. I'm always happy to go supernova.
You've always got something saved up for supernova. I've been Michael Rocek. This has been the Sack on Sunday podcast. Goodbye.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.